people, listen, please. If your life were to end today, where would you spend eternity?
Welcome to the Cross Currents Radio Show, your spiritual speaker's corner, broadcast, and podcast. Poverty, what is it? Jesus said that we will always have the poor with us, but what are we supposed to do about it? Among other things, the experts recommend giving, talking to the government, and engaging with others about this issue towards a solution. But do these responses really get to the core of the problem? In this breakthrough series of TCC Radio, we're working with preacher, author, and blogger Aaron Armstrong, both in the studio and on the street, to talk truth about how and when poverty will end, once and for all. And now, let's join TCC Radio host Corey McKenna in the studio.
Hi, I'm Corey McKenna, and welcome back to the fourth and final episode of this TCC Radio special series called Awaiting a Savior. And in the studio with me again for the last time is preacher, blogger, and author Aaron Armstrong. Aaron, thanks again for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Now, Aaron's first book is called Awaiting a Savior, and it carries the subtitle, The Gospel, The New Creation, and the End of Poverty. So we've been digging deep into this idea about ending poverty. And in part one, we laid what you might call a theological foundation by opening the scriptures to suggest that the root cause of poverty is not lack of resources, but an abundance of sin. In part two, we built on that foundation by talking about how our perspective of poverty and the poor must radically change when God's grace truly touches our hearts. Last time in part three, we talked about what Jesus must have meant when he said, "The poor you will always have with you." This wasn't some misplaced motivational statement about us ending poverty. No, in context, these words of Christ serve as a wonderful opportunity to worship the one who sacrificed all for us until he himself returns to end the poverty problem once and for all. Wow, so here we are, part four, and we're going to end this series by issuing a challenge to all of our Christian listeners, a challenge toward generosity and true Christian motivation. This is going to be great, but before we dive in, let's again take things from the studio to the street to hear from a Christian and a non-Christian about the problem of poverty.
In the studio and on the street with the Cross Current Radio Show.
All right, so I'm here with Rick. Rick, you're a follower of Christ, just to be clear.
Yes, I am.
Right on, good. Now, what comes to mind when you hear the word poverty? Sort of a word association. What do you think of?
When I think of poverty, I think of something that has really damaged a lot of lives around the world.
Okay. Now, where do you think poverty comes from?
I think poverty comes from a lack of resources in different areas, the unfortunate circumstances that could come through natural disaster, like I was saying.
Big question, man. Do you think poverty is something humanity can end?
No, I don't believe that poverty is something that we are going to be able to end. Jesus said that you'll always have the poor with you. That does not mean that we should be callous towards it. Again, it's an opportunity by which God has given us to reach out to people and share Christ's love through where he's blessed in some areas of the world where we can connect with people, and then at the same time share the gospel of Jesus Christ as to why we're able to connect with them.
Good stuff. Now, do you think poverty is a spiritual issue?
I don't know. I honestly have no bent either way on that as far as that goes. I know that for an individual, depending on their acceptance or rejection of God, there can obviously be complications in life, and he allows trials and tribulations to come into our world.
Yeah.
Do I think that God directly challenges and creates these unusual environments? No, I would say sin's done that.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff. Actually, yeah, that probably would have been a more fair way to ask the question about a spiritual issue.
Right.
But do you think that poverty has a spiritual cause or root fastened to it?
Well, that's for sure. I mean,
okay.
When God created this world, I mean, that's literal. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, and if you don't believe that, then that's where it all starts.
Okay.
And from that point in time, God made everything good, he said, and that included, there was no death. So when sin entered the world, That's when things started to fall off the rails, and we began to degrade, and things are getting worse and worse. They're definitely not getting better.
So if that's true, Rick, and I agree, do you think that if poverty is a spiritual issue, can we ignore the spiritual component? I'm not baiting you. I'm just asking your thoughts.
Sure. No, again, the same thing is true, whether it's that, whether it's an addict on drugs, or whether it's a marriage that's just breaking up, whether it's a thief or whatever in jail. These are all circumstances that sin has corrupted our world, making it worse and worse. And Christ, when he walked this earth, he saw man's human side of their need, and he met them selectively as he was able. Mm-hmm. He didn't solve world peace, obviously, at that point in time in regards to the physical, but he did die on the cross for us and reconnecting us eternally mm-hmm. with the God of creation.
Do you think Christians, it's sort of a humble question, but do you think we're doing a good job at caring for the poor?
Across the world, I think there's massive initiatives. You hear it all the time.
You probably know that from the very beginning, Christians have been really much, very much at the forefront of every major effort to care for the poor. We see that in the book of Acts and all through church history. What do you think motivated that generosity?
Because Jesus did.
Hi there, this is Chris with the Cross Current Radio. We are speaking with Jeff tonight. So, what pops in your head when you hear the word poverty?
Illiteracy and the fact that some people are not as educated as others, so they don't find proper jobs, and that continues to make them poor.
Okay, so how would you define poverty?
Poverty is something that prevents you from getting something that you want, and I believe that largely income inequality and illiteracy are responsible for that.
So what do you believe causes poverty?
I think government to a large extent is responsible. The fact that the government tends to concentrate only on certain section of the population, which maybe their vote banks probably, so they do neglect the other section of the population, and that is one of the reasons why people are poor.
So what percentage of people do you think live in poverty or are even poor right now?
In developing countries, probably I would say around close to 40 to 50% of the population.
What do you think motivates someone who wants to help those who are in need?
You need to have the right resources, right? So even if I have the intent of helping someone, so I think access to the right people, right resources is something that hinders people from helping out others.
So whose responsibility is it to help those in need?
I think it is the responsibility of everyone. I mean, I did talk about the government before, but I think government is something that is elected by the people.
So what about churches? Do you think churches should help people?
I think any institution which has power, which has influence over other people, I think they should go ahead and help.
How do you personally help those who are poor or those who are in need?
So when back home, I used to regularly donate some amount of my paycheck to a local community organization. I was also a part of the CSR branch of my company.
Do you think poverty can ever really end?
No, that's not possible. There's always going to be some people who have certain things and some people who don't have certain things.
What do you think is the root cause of poverty?
I think it's a very difficult question. So I did mention lack of education, but also family background is something that also matters. And the general situation in the country, if it is like maybe Middle East, I mean some country like Syria probably, which is not doing very well right now.
Do you ever think about sin?
Yeah, I do think about it and try to ensure I don't do many.
Do you think that sin is the cause of poverty ultimately?
No. I don't think so, because you can't just consider one factor and say that this is responsible.
So why do you think that sin is not part of the problem?
Sin is a part of the problem, but it is not the problem itself.
So the Bible says that God created the world perfect, all right? It was free from sickness, death, diseases, anything like that, right? So you understand that when Adam and Eve actually sinned in the garden, right, when they chose to disobey God and do what they desired, you understand they sinned. And it was after that sickness and disease entered into the earth. So I would wager that before that, it was perfect. There was no such thing as sickness. There was no such thing as death and disease, right? Or poverty, right? And so what would you say tonight if I told you the solution to poverty ultimately someday would be the gospel? And the word gospel actually means good news. Here's the thing tonight, Jeff. We've all sinned against the holy God, all right? And the Bible says that the wages for our sin is death. And so we look at the world and we look at things like poverty, we look at things like diseases and things like that, and we're like, you know, what's wrong here? Because naturally our flesh recoils against death, against disease, against even poverty, right? Seeing a child starving, there's something in our hearts that automatically says that's wrong, that's not natural. And it's the answer is because sin has entered the world, because we've all sinned, because our fathers way back, Adam and Eve, first sin entered the world. And the reason I'm here talking to you is because I care for your soul. I care about where you're going to spend eternity. And the reality is the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. Now, you and I both know that we've all sinned, right? We've broken God's law, whether we've told lies, whether we've disobeyed our parents, whether we've stolen something. It even just has been as small as like a candy from my aunt's jar. So what we deserve is to spend an eternity paying for our sin in hell. That would be fair. That would be just. Just like a good judge in a courtroom would bring justice against someone who's committed a murder or a crime. But the reality is, the good news is that Jesus came down 2,000 years ago and lived the perfect life that you and I could not live, Jeff. At the age of 33, he went to the cross. Now, what happened on the cross was not just the fact that he suffered at the hands of Roman soldiers, but what actually happened on the cross was God the Father poured out his wrath on Christ. And if we repent and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God will grant us forgiveness because what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me.
Canada needs Christ. Will you prayerfully give to our great mission of airing and sharing? Airing, this outreach radio show further across Canada and equipping more churches in Canada to share Christ? If so, go to thecrosscurrent.com/give and choose the giving option that's best for you. We thank God for you and your partnership in His gospel.
Personal. Let's get personal. And make sharing your faith a part of every day.
Welcome to Let's Get Personal, a 60-second sample of personal witness training with the Cross Current. Christian, do you know that all conversations and confrontations about your faith come down to competing claims of authority? Like, who says? Well, because Jesus says that he has all authority, why not share Christ and his word as your source of authority and then compare theirs to him? That way, it's never you and your word that get the glory, but Jesus and his. And that's just a glimpse of how TCC can help you and your church normalize sharing Christ in all your personal relationships.
Personal. For more personal witness center training, visit thecrosscurrent.com.
It's all good.
Do you believe that you are a good person?
I believe I'm a good person, yes.
I'd like to think so, but I don't know.
Yes, I think.
Sometimes.
No. I try to be, but...
Okay, do you believe that you're good enough to be with God in heaven?
I believe so, but we'll find out, I guess.
I know, I guess that's God's judgment, not mine.
If only God is all good, how can he not punish people for being bad? Tune in to the Outreach Radio Show that's really got people talking. It's all good this month on the Cross Current Radio Show.
Hi, this is Albert Moeller, and you're listening to the Cross Current Radio Show.
Okay, Aaron, in this fourth and final episode of the series, I'm hoping that we can take our best shot at challenging our Christian audience to sort of, you know, take action. So let's talk truth about our motivation as it relates to the poverty problem. In chapter 7, you break the ice by sharing your conviction and really your frustration about unbiblical motivation toward generosity in the modern church. Now, can you summarize your concerns for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. A few years ago, I was at a conference and I was listening to one of the speakers up on the stage, and he just out of nowhere comes out with this line about giving, and he offers this open rebuke to everyone who is there and everyone who is listening, and says, you know, if you're not giving your full 10% to your local church, you are in sin and you're disobedient to God, and you need to repent. So I know that right now, this is going to be a little bit challenging for some of you who are listening, because many of you undoubtedly follow the interpretation of how to give based on tithing. So you give your full 10% of your gross income to your local church, and then any other giving that you do is above and beyond that. The church that I'm a part of, and this has been my conviction actually before I came to this church, so really worked out well, is more of the first fruits model, that you're giving your first and your best of what you have to where God is compelling you to give it. And so for me, yes, primarily that is my local church, but it extends far beyond that. And so I don't worry about percentages quite as much. I worry about, okay, where is God leading me to give? Where do I feel like I need to be involved? How can I help? What is furthering the mission of Christ in the world? And that's the mindset that I do believe that we generally need to have.
Yeah, and just for the record, Aaron, you're very clear that people should be challenged to give generously, but you qualify that conviction by saying this on page 83 of the book: the best and most biblical scenario, I believe, is when we allow God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to motivate generosity. And really, doesn't that Holy Spirit motivation totally typify the experience and the testimony of the early church? I mean, in just one example, actually one of my personal favorite accounts Luke shares in the book of Acts, we read this: "Now the full number of those who believe," that's all of them, "were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." I mean, what a picture of unity and generosity. "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Needs are being met. The gospel's being shared." And because of that 1-2 punch, as it were, the Bible says, "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." Now that's from Acts chapter 4, verses 32-35. Now what a picture of generosity motivated by the Holy Spirit. And practically speaking, Aaron, you even extend several guidelines for giving straight from Scripture. Maybe you can just, you know, share a few with our listeners just for practical purposes.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, in the book and in how I try to live these things out, there are a few general principles and guidelines that I use. The first is really asking the question, should I give it all? And that really, really comes down to that heart check of, do we want to give? And if we don't want to give, we need to be asking ourselves some hard questions about why. Because as Christians, we are called to be generous because God has been so generous with us. I've hit on this over and over and over again in all of the parts of this series that we've covered so far, but it bears repeating one more time. When you look at what James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that?" And so a true believer cannot legitimately pretend that the material needs of others don't exist or that they don't matter. If we are Christians, we are called to help people. And so the question then becomes not, am I called to give, but to whom do I give? And so scripturally, I believe that there's generally three categories. There's one's family. So if there's a need within your own immediate family, that should get taken care of really quick. I mean, you see some pretty powerful rebukes in Scripture. Like, for example, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's a big deal. And to be clear, that's not talking about making sure that your kids have an Xbox or whatever is the new cool toy these days. It's making sure that they lack none of the essentials of life, so that they have the food that they need to eat, a bed to sleep in and a roof over their heads and clothing. It's not luxuries, it's necessities. The second priority for all believers is the family of God. So that's our local church. That's the people within our local church. It's why having a benevolence fund is really, really important in the congregation, so that we can practically love one another by meeting one another's needs, as the early church did in Acts. And then finally, the third priority is the world at large. This is where we have the broadest impact in our giving, and also have the most options for where and how we give. Looking at different charitable organizations, parachurch ministries that are doing great work among the poor, among those in need, and that's our third focus. So those are the three guidelines that I use.
Yeah, I just love what you're sharing there, Aaron. It reminds me in John chapter 13 when Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I mean, it's those one another's of Scripture that sort of overflows into a love for the community, into a love for the lost, into addressing the poverty problem outside the walls of our church and outside our immediate spiritual family. Now, before we turn the page and talk about the need to be quote-unquote heavenly-minded when reaching out to the poor, I want to share this quote from page 88. "When we talk about helping the poor, it is for good reason that we tend to think in terms of financial sacrifice. Without such sacrifice, very little of substance can be accomplished. But generosity is about much more than money. As a Christian, your entire life is supposed to be an act of generosity, a life invested in, spent for, and used up to the glory of God and the good of others." Wow. So let's talk about living life for the glory of God, specifically in light of eternity, in about 3 minutes. Go ahead, Aaron.
Only 3 minutes? Okay. So when you're thinking about life and like caring for those in need in light of eternity, the thing that's kind of counterintuitive is the more that you set your mind on the coming of the new creation, the more you set your mind on Christ and His return and the ultimate hope that we have, the more effective you actually are in caring for the needs of others, because you're not focused on trying to meet a particular goal. You're doing what comes naturally to you as an extension of what you believe. And so this is why throughout all of the history of Christianity, for the last 2,000 years, Christians have been on the forefront of every major social movement. Every major initiative to care for those in need and to protect people, and that's down from adoption, education, law. Even the First Council of Nicaea decreed that wherever a church was, a hospital should be right there too. Even the Emperor Julian Apostate lamented the fact that Christians were better at caring for those in need than everyone else, and Julian hated Christians. So this is the thing. And for those Christians, it wasn't because they were like, "All right, let's try and change the world." It's we love Jesus. We want other people to know Jesus. We want to express the love of Jesus to everyone, and we want to see His kingdom come. We want to see His will be done. So they were living out of that.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Aaron. I mean, Scripture would clearly teach that we're to do everything with every breath we take for the glory of our God. Now, I want to close by reminding our listeners about the hope of glory that we have in Christ when He ends the poverty problem, and really every problem for that matter. Revelation 21, verse 3 says this, get the picture. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. And here's how Aaron applies that passage to this issue. This is the hope of all Christians from the first days of the church. This is the hope that allowed the saints of old to give their lives for the cause of Christ. It is the best of all possible hopes we can offer to the poor. The hope for an eternal end to poverty. One not found in human effort, but in the return of Jesus, when he will make all things new and wipe away every tear from every eye. The end is coming soon. Are you ready? If you are, then the Cross Current wants to help you equip others to be ready. But if you're not ready for eternity, well, here's how you can be. Listen carefully.
Will you be with God in heaven? The Bible says that the price of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So how many times have you sinned? How many times have you lied, lusted, stolen, hated, and used God's name in vain? Because every time you have, you've sinned against holy God, alienating yourself from Him. Even your thinking is against Him. You will face the second death, which is eternity in the lake of fire. But Jesus Christ paid for sins, taking them and God's wrath against sinners upon Himself. He shed His blood and died on the cross in place of sinners. And then He rose from the grave, defeating sin and death, just as the Scriptures foretold that He would. To be reconciled to God, you must repent and trust that Jesus died for your sins. Your sins will be forgiven. God will grant you eternal life, and you will spend forever with God in heaven. Isn't that good news?
That is good news if you repent of your sin and trust in Christ alone for your salvation. If you responded to the gospel in repentance and faith for the very first time, or if you have any questions we can help you answer, please email us at questions@tccradio.com. Well, Aaron, I want to thank you again for joining us over these past four episodes of TCC Radio. It's been a joy getting to know you, and I trust that the Lord will use your book and your blog powerfully for His purposes of His gospel, His new creation, and His end to poverty. And thanks again to you for tuning into our program. Please visit us online at thecrosscurrent.com, where you can access all of our outreach radio programs and more info on giving to our great cause of airing and sharing Christ right here in Canada. Plus, our sort of gospel guarantee is that God's good news will always be presented here on the Cross Current Radio Show graciously and truthfully to the glory and praise of His Son. Until next time, I'm Corey McKenna, in the studio and on the street, keeping the Cross Current in our culture.
The Cross Current and TCC Radio are praying for the Lord to align us with a like-minded partner church to continue this outreach radio broadcast in your area. Could that be your church? In addition to equipping you by example to share the gospel, TCC can help your local church gain maximum ministry exposure with both Christians and non-Christians in your community through promoting your church right here on TCC Radio. To explore the possibility of becoming a partner church, please email us at partners@tccradio.com.